The following is a teaching from Irving Bible Church. To learn more about who we are, visit irvingbible.org/new.
Well, good morning, IBC. How are we doing? Doing well. Good to see you. It's a joy to be here together to share in God's word. If you have your Bible, you can open up to Matthew chapter 4. We'll be in Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22. My name's Jared. I serve here as one of the pastors at the church. I'm just delighted to have this time together in God's word. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. I'm going to read it, and then we'll get into it together. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We are in week 3 of a great series called Discover, and I love that we have situated this series in the Easter season, this season where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the new life that we have in Christ because of that, this season where we celebrate the new life, the new vision, the new hope, and even the new discoveries that we are making in our relationship with God as he reveals himself to us in the scriptures, by the Spirit, through community in our life. We are discovering God's character, discovering our identity, discovering what we're on about at IBC, guided by God's word. And I wonder, what are you discovering on the journey of discipleship recently with Jesus? Discipleship is best and most commonly referred to as a journey. It's this seasonal growth with God, this journey of invitation and formation. The Christian life of discipleship is a journey of daily and ever deepening discovery of God's character and our call in him. So I wonder what you're discovering recently. Do I have any mathematically minded people in the room with me? You've got the spiritual gift of math. Anybody? All right, no, I hear a few no's and a few yeses. Well, I am no mathlete, but I do wanna say thank you to 17th century mathematician and philosopher René Descartes, because he invented the Cartesian plane, this four quadrant coordinate tool that is so great, has such explanatory power. And I want to reference it now. We're talking about today invitation and formation, that everyone is invited by Jesus to this discipleship journey, and he calls us to formation unto Christ's likeness. So on this quadrant, you'll see high invitation, low invitation, high formation, low formation. And this can happen at an individual level or at a church level, where this culture is created based on where you're situated. So we're gonna start in the top left on the screen. And this would be high invitation, but low formation. And this creates a cozy culture. Cozy, comfortable Christians. High invitation. Everyone can be a part. Everyone belongs. High community, but low formation, low challenge, low call to growth. Everyone gets really cozy. You might feel cozy, not stepping out of your comfort zone into the call of Christ if you're experiencing high invitation but low formation. In addition to this, if you move downward, this would be low invitation and low formation. So there's not a high invite culture, there's not a lot of belonging, and there's not a lot of vision for growth with God. You're gonna get an apathetic culture, an apathetic people. Just not a lot of passion, not a lot of seeking, not a lot of pursuit. You know, says in 2 Peter to make every effort to grow, and there's really no effort to grow. Why? Because there's lack of belonging and invitation, and also lack of challenge, formation, invite, and vision to grow. If you move across the quadrant there, this is high challenge, high formation, but low invitation still. And if there's a lot of focus on growth, a lot of focus on formation, a lot of focus on you becoming like Jesus, without invite, grace, and belonging, you're gonna get a discouraged culture, a discouraged people. Hey, come on, make every effort to grow in your relationship with God. How are your rhythms growing? Are you growing in prayer, in scripture, in worship, in mission, in church? And it can easily turn the gospel into our self-made production, becoming like Jesus, our performance for him and growth. And we get discouraged, beat down, because there's not invitation and belonging. I remember I experienced this quadrant before. I was in Colorado going to school in my undergrad years, and I just moved up to Colorado, had never skied a day before in my life. And I had a group of college buddies that I had just met. Hey, invite me to go skiing with them. That's great, high invitation, you're brand new, go skiing with us. So we're there on the mountain, at Copper Mountain, and I get up to the top, and they're like, yeah, man, we're gonna guide you all the way down, it's gonna be awesome. First time through, you're gonna hit the greens and the blues, we'll lead you through it all the way. We ride the lift, they get off the lift, and they shoot into a forest. And here I am, like, wobbling off the lift. I'm like, is that the way I'm supposed to? The green arrow is this way. So I follow them through the woods, and I'm trudging through trees, and I get to this clearing, and I look down at what felt like a near vertical angle filled with moguls. I was like, y'all led me to a double black diamond with moguls. This is not high invitation, high formation. This is high formation, high challenge. They tricked me. And I was like, man, it's total discouragement. Took the skis off, found a green slope, and made it my way down. And didn't talk to those guys the rest of the day until the drive home. But if you're in a culture that is high invitation and high challenge or high formation, this vision for growth, what you're gonna experience in that culture is a transformative culture. Where people are called out of cozy Christianity, called out of their apathy, called out of discouragement into transformation, into this vision of the kingdom of God that says, I have been called to follow Jesus. He is working by his spirit in my life to form me into his image. I have meaning and purpose and value. And his kingdom is here and now, and he's called me to be a part of seeing it come to earth as it is in heaven. High formation, high invitation is a transformative culture. You see this with Jesus. He weaved high invitation and high formation together a lot. Here's what it says in John 7. It won't be on the screen. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. There's your invitation. Let anyone come and drink. But then here is the formative challenge. If anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Anyone can drink. And rivers of living water will flow from within them based on our relationship. Let anyone come who's thirsty. And if you're gonna follow me, here's what that looks like. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Sometimes he used invitation and formation or challenge in the same sentence. It says this in Mark 1, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. There's the invitation. The time has come, the kingdom of God. It's here, y'all. This is Jesus' first sermon. But then in the same sentence, he says, therefore, repent and believe the good news. So the kingdom is here, high invitation, and here's the formative challenge, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Believe the good news. The step to take is repentance. Today in Matthew 4, what we're gonna discover is Jesus' call of the first disciples and what that means for us today individually and collectively. We're gonna see in this scripture as we move through it in various correlated scriptures, buckle up, there's a lot of scriptures today. Answers to these two questions. Who does Jesus call and what does Jesus promise them? Who does he call and what does he promise? The answers that the gospel provides to these two questions bring relief to every heart that trusts it and hope to every burdened life. And that's my goal today. That's my desire in prayer, is that these scriptures and this truth, the answers to who does Jesus call and what does Jesus promise, would bring relief and would bring hope. So let's pray as we enter God's word. Father, thank you for this moment together around your word. Thank you, God, for the invitation of Jesus and the formation that you have promised us. I pray now that as we turn our attention to the scriptures, that it would be worship, and that you would illuminate for us the truth of God, and that you would change us today, that we would leave this place more alive, more in love with you, more connected to your people as we trust and follow you. God, would you help me to speak with precision in a way that glorifies you and edifies us? In Christ's name, amen. Amen. A bit of context leading up to Matthew 4, we read already. Jesus has been baptized and God has confirmed his identity. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He goes into the wilderness to experience temptation. He conquers Satan in the wilderness by not giving in to that temptation. He then moves to preach his first sermon, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Believe the good news. And now he's calling his first disciples. So here's what it says in Matthew 4, verses 18, and then we'll skip to verse 21. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake. Can y'all say casting? Casting. For they were fishermen. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, and they were preparing their nets. Another translation says mending. Can y'all say mending with me? Mending. They were casting and they were mending. So why does Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, include these two terms? I feel like he could have just said, they're fishermen, and we could have filled in the gaps. We get it. There's probably nets. They're probably casting. They might get broke. They might mend the nets. That would make sense. But Matthew, inspired by the Spirit, chooses to include that Peter and Andrew were casting a net. James and John were mending a net. Casting and mending. Casting, just trying to make it happen, get the fish, right? So you have this net and you gotta do the work, exert the energy and throw it into the water, and you're just trying to make the day happen, get the fish. That's what we do, we're fishermen. But on the other side, you've got James and John, and they're not yet casting, they're preparing their net, they're mending their net. Something is broken in the net and they're just trying to make the net work, just trying to get it back to do what it's supposed to do for the day. You have men who are casting and men who are mending, trying to make it happen, and just trying to make it work. And that's often what it can feel like in our day-to-day life. Man, I'm just trying to make things happen in my own strength and my own wisdom and my own insight. Just trying to make things happen. Gotta move forward. Gotta secure the future. Gotta get paid. Make things happen in the world. Or maybe you're in this other spot of, I just gotta make things work. I'm just trying to get it to work. The net is broken. You're mending it. And these types of approaches to daily living, trying to make it happen, just trying to make it work, it can produce this striving and this straining within us. And Jesus sees Peter and Andrew casting and James and John mending, trying to make it happen and just trying to make it work. And he says to both sets of brothers the same thing, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. He says to the net casters and to the net menders, I've got a new journey for you. And now he's not discrediting or setting aside their work. He's elevating their vision. He's lifting their eyes to the greater kingdom purpose that they can be a part of in and through his call on their life. And this is what Jesus does for all of us. He calls us and he says, I have more for you. Follow me and I will make you fishers of people. I will elevate your vision for the purpose of your life. I will deepen your understanding that you are made in the Imago Dei, that you have meaning, value, and purpose beyond what you know, and that every mundane or miraculous moment in your life counts because God is moving in and through it with you. Net casters trying to make it happen, taking action in the world. Net menders, just trying to make it work, restoring and getting it back out there. And he says, I've got a new journey for you. Follow me and I will make you into fishers of people. And so if you take these two categories and just go beneath the surface, I wanna build a case here of who are the people that Jesus calls? If he's calling us out of trying to make it happen on our own or trying to make it work on our own, who are the kinds of people that he calls? I'm gonna go through a few texts here. They won't be on the screen. Luke 19 verse 10 says this, Jesus' words, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Can y'all say lost? Luke 5, 27 and 32, Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Luke 4, Jesus is anointed by the Spirit and he says to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. John 3:10, he's talking to a religious leader, Nicodemus, and he says this, you are Israel's teacher, and yet you do not understand these things. John 3:19, this is the verdict, says Jesus, light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light. John 8:34, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. John 21, where he's talking to Peter, restoring his mission and call as an apostle. And Peter is worried about John and his discipleship journey. And Jesus says, Peter says, Lord, what about him? What about John? Jesus answered, if I want him, John, to remain alive until I return, what is that to you, Peter? You must follow me. We have the lost, we have the sick, the sinner, the weary, the burdened, the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed, the religious, the people who love darkness, the slave to sin, and the overly concerned about others. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, lacking wisdom, lacking status, lacking power when you were called. But God chose the foolish things of the world to what? To shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Remember what you were like when you were called, Paul says. You didn't have status or power or wisdom. You were weak, you were lowly, you were despised by the world. You're despised by the world for even saying yes to Jesus. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins before this call. Romans 5, we were utterly helpless, powerless, enemies of God. Colossians 1, we were alienated from God and enemies in our minds against God. So who does Jesus call out of the casting and the mending, trying to make it happen and just trying to make it work? Who is the invitation to, high invitation, anyone who's thirsty? The invitation, the call, it's to the spiritually dead, the slave to sin, the enemy of God, the utterly helpless, the lovers of darkness, the religious, the overly concerned with others, the powerless, the lost, the weary, the burdened, the sick, the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed. Who does Jesus call? He calls people like me, like you, like us. And he says, come to me, follow me, and I will make you into fishers of people. You're casting that net. You're trying to make it happen on your own strength and your own wisdom. You're mending that net. You're just trying to restore it, to get it back to life. I've got life for you. I've got a call for you. Follow me. I will make you fishers of people. High invitation and high formation. Jesus calls, let anyone who's thirsty. But he makes a promise. He makes a promise. He says this. In Matthew 4, verse 19. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. We live in a culture obsessed with self-mastery, with making something of yourself. I don't know if you've seen, I get these ads on social media. It's like, disappear for 3 months and you'll come back alive and the best ever and the most influential and make all the money in the world if you just do these sets of practices. And sometimes we think that about our Christian walk. If I just disappear and get disciplined and do the right things, then I can go back and prove to God and everyone else that I truly am just a good person, trying to make it happen, trying to make it work. But Jesus says, no, no, I will make you. I'll form you into a fisher of people. I will lift your vision for kingdom purpose and I will form you into my image. Jesus promises to spiritually form his disciples. This word make is poeo. It's the same word in Greek that is used in Ephesians 2 that says that we are God's poema, his workmanship, his masterpiece, his craftsmanship, his poem in the world. Jesus says, I will poeo you because you will be my poema, my masterpiece. I will make you. I will form you. This shows us that God has a goal for us. God has a vision for your life that is bigger than your vision for your life, deeper than your vision for your life, truer, because it is his vision of you being conformed to the image of Christ. Here's what it says in Luke 6:40. Jesus says, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. I will make you fishers of people. I will make you like me. Romans 8:29, we have all been predestined, those who are in Christ, to be conformed to the image of his son. Galatians 4:18, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled face contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Romans 12:1, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Peter 1:4, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them, we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. 1 John 4:17, in this world, we are like Jesus. God has a goal for you, a vision for you. He has predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son, and he has covenanted himself through the blood of his son to fulfill that promise to you. That he is setting you free, that he is healing your heart, that he is cleansing you from sin, that he is renewing your mind, that he is making you secure in your identity. He is strengthening you and giving you character through suffering, that God is with you every moment, forming you because he promised to. Ultimately, spiritual formation is God's work within us. The invitation, let all who are thirsty come to me. Follow me, net casters and net menders. I'll give you a new journey. But here's what the journey brings. It brings transformation. And like we studied in Colossians chapter 3, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. That the closer we get to Jesus, the more we grow in our fellowship with God and with one another, the more we become fully alive, the more we become ourselves. Our life is hidden with God. And as we get to know him, as we follow him in this journey, he forms us, heals us, sets us free. And as he said in John 10:10, he gives us life to the full. That's his promise. Spiritual formation is ultimately God's work. Here's what it says in Philippians 1, 4 to 6. Paul writing to the Philippian church, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this. And here it is, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Began, carry it on, complete. God, he began the good work in you, calling him, calling you to follow him. And his promise is to make you and to make me into fishers of people, into his redemptive vision for our life, conform to the image of Christ. He began the work. He will carry on the work. He will complete the work. That is his promise. So who does he call? He calls the lost, the weary, and the burdened. And what does he promise? He promises transformation. That in our growth of high invitation and high formation, we are experiencing a transformed life. We are growing in Christ's likeness, little by little, gradual, painful at times, incremental, but beautiful and joyful. Discipleship is joyful. He began the work. He will carry it on. We can rest in that grace. We are saved by grace. We are formed by grace. And by grace alone, God will complete his work within us. We want to see people at IBC invited and formed to be and become, to depend on God and to be developed by the Spirit, to follow Jesus and to be formed by Jesus, to trust and to be transformed, to rest and to be renovated, to delight in the new life we have in Christ and to grow by the Spirit. This is the call of Jesus, that we would be spiritually mature, that we would be relationally healthy, that we'd be theologically deep, that we'd be missionally alive, that in heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are loving God with everything we are and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Follow me, net casters, net menders, those who are just trying to make it happen or trying to make it work, and I will make you new. I will lift your vision for your life, deepen your purpose and understanding. Robert Mulholland, in his book, Invitation to a Journey, says this, spiritual transformation does not result from fixing our problems. It results from turning to God in the midst of them and meeting God just as we are. Turning to God in our sin and shame is the heart of spiritual transformation. Here it is. He will make us. What's our part to play? Repent, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Believe the good news. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. We follow God forms. There's nothing else you hear or remember. Remember that. We follow God forms. Following requires active participation. Formation requires the Spirit of God to fulfill his promise in and through Jesus Christ as he forms us into the image of Christ. Requires our participation. And we can all too easily fall into a couple traps. Those of you who might be more action-oriented, maybe type A or perfectionistic, we can fall into this trap of willful performance. Willful performance. Where we are trying so very hard to grow with God. Trying with all of our will, all of our might to just perform rightly in the world and maybe get God's attention or maybe bless somebody along the way. Willful performance. That's on one end of the spectrum. On the other end would be willless passivity. That I'm just sliding back. If it's all up to God and he's gonna form me, I will passively slide out of the picture and just let him do what he said he'd do. He's gonna make me in the image anyway, so I won't seek God in prayer. I won't seek the good of this city. I won't spend time in scripture or commit to community or show up in worship or serve the least of these. Why? Well, willless passivity. Willful performance, willless passivity. But in the middle, here's the call of Christ, willing participation. That he says, follow me. That's the active part. I will make you. That's the passive part, where he forms us as we follow. Willing participation in God's work. Mark 8, 34 and 37 says this, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? You must give up your own way. This is our willing participation to follow Jesus as he forms us into his image. You must give up your own way. Just recently, my daughter, Ryla, she's 3 years old. It was the bedtime routine and she says, Daddy, send me to bed. I was like, great, I mean, I'm happy to. I send you to bed. No, Dad, send me to bed. I'm like, you are sent. Go to bed, nothing. No, and she points across the room, from over there. Okay, so I move over here. I send you to bed, nothing. So finally I realized what she wanted and what I ended up doing was I lifted her up and she wanted me to walk to one section of the room and from that point in the room, send her to bed. So I'm like, okay, Ryla, I love you. It's time for bed. And then we go to bed and she was totally great. Like that's exactly what she wanted. Send me from over there, not from right here. She had her way in mind. And sometimes that's honestly what we do functionally with God. We don't give up our own way. We say, Jesus, send me this way. No, Jesus, send me that way. Send me from this point in my life. And we insist on our own way. The active participation is to deny ourselves, the self without reference to God that wants to decide and rule. I'll make my own call. I'll do what seems right. I'll try to make it happen in my own wisdom. But the Proverbs say in the ancient Hebrew wisdom literature that there is a way that seems right and its end is death. And then here comes Jesus, the Messiah, God in the flesh, and he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me, I will make you. Trust in me, I will form you. Self-denial, taking up our cross and following Jesus. I'll close here with a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. If it's invitation and formation, and we respond with a yes, it says this, if we answer this call to discipleship, where will it lead us? What decisions and partings will it demand? To answer this, we shall have to go to him, for only he knows the answer. Only Jesus Christ, who bids us follow him, knows the journey's end. But we do know that it will be a road of boundless mercy. Discipleship means joy. I love it. This invitation to give up, trying to make it happen, trying to make it work on your own, saying yes to following him, trusting that he's at work in your life, participating by taking up our cross, denying ourselves and following him, truly making every effort to grow with Jesus and his people. It's a road of joy and mercy. And Jesus made a promise in the Gospel of John. He said, I want to give you my joy and my joy to the full. That's his promise in our discipleship to him as we are conformed, formed, transformed into his image. IBC is a place of invitation for people from all walks of life. Why? Because the character of God revealed in the resurrected Jesus is a God who invites all people, anyone who's thirsty, to come and drink. IBC is a place of formation for all people to become like Jesus. Why? Because the invitation and promise of Jesus is that. Invitation and formation. With Jesus, you are invited just as you are, lost, weary, and burdened. And with Jesus, you are on the journey and the adventure of a lifetime. Why? Because God himself has covenanted to you that he will form the image of Christ within you. And when that occurs, you become fully alive. We become fully alive. And this world is blessed. So have you said yes to the call of Christ? Do you trust that he's at work within you? Do you feel stuck, stale, behind? Maybe you've regressed. By his grace and grace alone, he has promised, follow me, I will make you fishers of people. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this invitation and formation that Jesus makes and promises. That what he said to Peter and Andrew, James and John, to leave their nets and to follow you. You say to us today, leave trying to make it work and trying to make it happen on your own wisdom and own strength behind. God, I pray today that afresh, maybe for the first time, someone in this room would hear the call, follow me if you are weary and burdened. I will give rest to your soul. Follow me and I will make you. God, I pray for those who are stuck in the cozy culture, apathetic or discouraged, God, that by your spirit, you would fan into flame and bring back to life this passion to follow you with everything we are. We trust you, God. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Irving Bible Church. To learn more about who we are, visit irvingbible.org/new.